Amen. That's a beautiful way to begin and very appropriate, I believe. Now, I know, again, in so many ways, really everyone here today, this is an introduction to our new building. You know, I noticed it in little things today. There are actually six convenient ways into this room for our congregation, but we all tried to come in those two doors. You know, but there are other ways in that you see the yellow to my left and my right. You can actually go out there and back down the hallway as well. And so we'll learn that as time goes on. And yet for everything that's new, so many things haven't changed. No one's seated on the front row. That never, ever changes, you know. So we'll get used to it as we go along. And part of what we want to do today is we want to make sure we introduce you to our staff team. And I can say in all honesty and in total sincerity, could not have done it without them, as well as many of you. There's so many things that went into making today possible, really over many years. But our staff team is very valuable to us. Obviously, you know who I am, and you'll get used to me if you haven't already, probably. Or you may not want to get used to me, but that's a whole other thing. We want to make sure you meet Darlene Jernigan this morning. She's in our preschool department. If you dropped off little kids, you probably met her and Jay. Also, Darren Richardson is a key member of our staff. He runs the facilities, and quite literally, do not hurt him at this time because he's the only one that knows how the AC works in this place. The electricity, he knows how to turn the baptistry on and warm the waters, so he's very valuable. Don't mess with him, okay? So we need him. And so they are just a part of our staff team. You met Brett Hatfield earlier on the video. We actually are praying right now. Pastor Gerardo Acevedo is in view of a call at our Hispanic ministry right across the street. And so we will have him hopefully to present to you officially in just a few days. So a lot of things happening there, but also you're going to get to meet the rest of our staff team. They're slowly lining up behind me on the stage there. And we want to make sure you get to do that because today is a special day. We know we've got visitors here who this is your first time at First Russellville, and we want to make sure you kind of know who we are and how things work. And many of you, you've been friends or extended family of our church for a long time. And so, again, it's a chance to kind of remind ourselves of who we really are. Today, as we've already said, is about a lot more than a building. I want to make sure I emphasize to you that in so many ways, despite the new surroundings, today is not different from any other Sunday. Every Sunday at First Baptist Church Russellville is about a whole lot more than a building. It's about a whole lot more than you. It's about a whole lot more than me. It is about God our Father. It is about His Son, Jesus Christ. It is about the very Spirit of God. It's about the kingdom of God. It's about the gospel. It's about how God is at work advancing those things. It is about the bride of Christ and it is about the Word of God. There should not be a Sunday pass that we do not celebrate those things. And the reality is, here at First Baptist Russellville, it is about family and it's about teamwork and it's about missions and discipleship and evangelism. Those are the things that this church has valued for really going on over a century now that makes today possible. It's why it's necessary. Now, I don't believe there's anything complicated to the recipe for the growth of this church. It is that this church, not me, not these staff members, it's that this church loves the Word of God and believes deeply in the power of the gospel. Amen? That's why we're here today. That's what we're doing. And we're not going to change anything based upon the fact, the reality that we've been blessed with a new building. Nothing changes. If you came today thinking we were going to introduce a whole new scope of ministry, well, you missed it. Nothing's changing. We're going to keep doing what works. We're going to keep doing what we have always done. Now, we are mindful that we're in a beautiful new place and God has been good to us. But we're going to do it a little different. Normally, you'd have to listen to me preach. Good news. You don't have to do that today. All right? In fact, you don't have to do that next Sunday. We're going to do something very special next Sunday, and we're going to do the Lord's Supper together. We're going to commemorate this building and this place by participating in the Lord's Supper. If you want to see normal, you have to come back on Easter Sunday in 2 weeks, and we'll kick off our Acts sermon series, and you'll be forced to listen to me for about 35 minutes. I guess that's pretty normal. Some of you are saying that's not normal. He's cutting some time off. Just don't listen to them, okay? But today I really do want you to meet the rest of our staff team and to hear their heartbeat and to know kind of what ministries they're a part of. And I want to do this in a way that encourages you, but also does something, whether you realize it or not as we go along, to further, in a sense, sanctify this place. I believe the Word of God is our best means of sanctification today because the blood has already been shed. It's already been done. It's been poured out for you and I. We've been made holy by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. But if we want to ordain this place today, we're not going to do it with any shedding of blood. We're going to do it through the reading of God's Word. Jesus Christ himself said in John 17:17, sanctify them in truth. Your word is truth. Well, we want this place to be sanctified. And it's only sanctified when his word is high and lifted up. And when you turn to the New Testament, it's interesting that you see several passages that are actual, they're very literal prayers for the church. They're recorded in the gospel or in the apostles' letters. They're inspired by God and penned by Paul and others specifically for the churches they had planted, that they had loved, and that they had invested their lives in. And so these prayers are great tracks for us to run on. They're prayers that show us what God values as a church. Prayers that I believe hold particular power for a church like ours on a day like this when we're turning over a new leaf. And I believe these prayers can help us keep focused on what really matters. So we're going to move into these prayers this way. We're going to talk about, first of all, the pattern for prayer that Jesus himself established in the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 6, verses 9 through 13, we get the real pattern for prayer that we should remember in our lives. Verse 9 says this, pray then like this. And that's Jesus speaking. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Now, that's a very familiar prayer. You don't need me to spend a long time explaining it. I just want to say this. It is a reminder. It begins with a reminder to us that everything in the church must begin with an understanding that it's all about God our Father and His kingdom. It's not that complicated. It's that simple. We exist to bring God glory. We are who we are because of His grace and mercy, and we must never forget it, church. And so I pray that the following moments will bring Him glory in this new place. And it will remind us of who we are and how we've been created. And if we have a need to do business with God, we're going to have a chance to do that today. And I pray that it encourages your hearts. And we're just going to go one by one through these prayers of the churches. And we're going to do it staff member by staff member so you kind of get to know us. This time, it's my privilege to introduce to you Mr. Mike Cloud. He is our pastor of education and assimilation. He'll be speaking to us about the importance of fellowship. Come on, Mike.
Church, you're all alone. Today we are reminded that the local church is also a fellowship. A fellowship, Paul says in his prayer in Romans 1, 8, 9, and 10, first I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is proclaimed around the world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I mention you, always in my prayers, asking that somehow by God's will I may now at last succeed in coming to you. In this prayer, Paul expresses thanksgiving for the fellowship of believers who are proclaiming faith in Jesus Christ all around the world. The word translated fellowship comes from a Greek word, koinonia, that has three different shades of meaning, the first of which refers to the fellowship that we have in Christ. As a part of First Baptist Russellville, we fellowship together with Christ as a partnership. The concept of a spiritual partnership implies that we, First Baptist Russellville, are created with the objective of glorifying God together. And God is glorified when we grow in the faith and the knowledge of Jesus Christ as a partnership. We're called together into the fellowship of Christ. We are partners in the promotion of the gospel. The fellowship of Christ is a partnership. But also, we notice in Scripture, there's the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, a sense of togetherness, a bond that we have as believers in Christ with the Holy Spirit inside all of us. The fellowship of the Spirit is more than a sense of camaraderie. It is a literal sharing together of the presence of the Spirit, sharing His gifts. The church is one body with many different members, different gifts, and we all express our spiritual act of service for the building up of the body. We are to work together with one mind, and we share one purpose, and that is to proclaim the gospel all around the world. The church is a fellowship, the fellowship of Christ, a partnership. The church is a fellowship of the Holy Spirit. We are together, sharing one purpose. But then the church is also literally a fellowship. The local church is a fellowship. And that's the sense of community. Community describes the relationships that we form. God never intended us to follow Christ in isolation. He desires that we come alongside one another, encouraging one another in the faith, holding each other accountable. Life groups are the place for fellowship at First Baptist Russellville. It's at that life group, that small group, that we partner with other people, that we share and have a sense of togetherness, and that we experience authentic community. Would you give Justin Myrick a warm welcome as he shares about spiritual growth?
Good morning, church family. I want to invite you to turn to Colossians chapter 1. We want to continue reading just these prayers, this specific one. So, excuse me, let's go to Ephesians first, just a few pages back there. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 through 21, and then we'll be in Colossians 1. These are two prayers of thanksgiving. It's echoed again as Mike was sharing with us. But we're talking about spiritual growth. That's what I have the privilege just to share with you guys about this morning. And I want to just read the word. Because amen to Greg. I mean, it's good to be showered with the Word of God. And so let's read along in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 through 21. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know Him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which He has called you, the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints, and His incomparable great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of His mighty strength, which He exerted in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that has been given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And flip over just a few pages to Colossians. Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 14. You'll see similar language written here. Paul writes to the believers here. He says, "For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of His will, through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. For He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us to in the kingdom of the Son He loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." There are some powerful truths contained in these prayers. And when we think about spiritual growth here at First Baptist Church, I was reminded just as we worship that spiritual growth, just your personal, how are you growing in the Lord, really is a recognition that we are flawed and that we are broken. It's not a recognition in any way, shape, or form that we've got something figured out. It is an admission to God that we need the gospel saving power of Jesus, not only in salvation, but in every day of our life. I got a 6-year-old daughter over there, sitting there, Miss Hallie Kate, that would tell you that this man right here needs the power of the gospel, and I need spiritual growth on a daily basis, and there's no doubt about it. When you think about these prayers, I keep thinking of the question that comes to my mind. Do people hear of my faith? You notice how Paul, as he started to pray for him, he said, you know, ever since we heard about your faith. You know, it's interesting when you look at Colossians there, and his prayer for him was that they would live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way. How many of you know that if you do that, if you honestly seek to please him and honor him in every way, the world tends to take notice of that. Your family tends to take notice of that. Your church family tends to take notice of that. And our hope and desire here at First Baptist Church is that wherever we go, both here to worship and to hear the Word of God and be challenged with the Word, as we go all around the globe taking Jesus, as we connect in the life groups that Mike challenges with, that as we attempt with our best efforts to raise children in a godly home, that we are always personally growing. That we're never satisfied with staying where we are because we want to grow. We want to move forward. We want to experience these things that Paul prayed for these believers. We want to be strengthened, right? Here's the question I'd like to ask you guys, and this is the beautiful mystery of God, is that who is the one that caused that spiritual growth? Okay, you come to know Jesus, we're all still here breathing, okay? So we're either going to be here till we die or he comes back. Who's causing that growth inside of us? According to Paul's prayers, right, God's the one who's going to do that. Right? He causes all things to grow. But do we just sit back and does he just do that? Like, somehow there's this great mystery where we are involved in that, right? Like but at the end of the day, like, why we need each other is because our best efforts are going to what? They're going to fall short, right? And we're going to be stumbling over the same old things. We need one another to push each other towards spiritual growth so that we can experience these things. And so I would challenge you, as you hear these prayers, I would love for us I don't know about you guys, but I would love for you to pray this prayer over me. Colossians, Ephesians, these are incredible prayers to pray for one another, for those in your life groups, for those that you're going on a mission trip with. Pray that this happens because we never want to cease in growing individual, our spiritual growth. We never want that to stop. I want to introduce you now to our pastor of senior adults. Man, I've grown to really respect. I love this guy, Keith Shipley.
Good morning. Ours is endurance. It's the one that I'm looking at this day in the prayers. And have faith, endure, and work hard. Have you heard that before somewhere? It seems like we probably still got T-shirts and some wristbands around that still have that written on it. But anyway, Pastor Greg may have mentioned it. In fact, he hammered it into our heads and our hearts, didn't he? But it's the purpose of our church is to reach out and to minister to other people. These things are our goal, but it's always been our goal. We've always been a church that's been established in that and practiced that for a long time, and it's paid off. You can look around and see everything has come to pass just because of that. And I'm not talking about a building. I'm talking about the church. And the building is a good part of it, but it's more than that. It's reaching our community and reaching the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. In Ephesians 3, 13 through 21, there's a special prayer that's written by Paul, and it says this. So I ask you not to lose heart over what I am suffering for you, which is your glory. For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that accordingly to his riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with the power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, length, height, and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than we may ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations. Amen. Everyone knows that I can take a few verses like this and just go on for about 3 weeks, but I have a very short time that I can share with you. To me, this really pictures our senior adults, and these verses are alive in our senior adults. They always have been. It's through their faith and endurance that we are where we are today. Their hard work has paid off. They've laid the foundation that we're building on today, that we're using today. Several are here today, and several have gone on before, but they had a vision to reach other people and to reach out. There are some here, as of today, they've worshipped in all three sanctuaries that we've had. And that's just incredible that they've been here, and because we worked as a church. There's some important points in his prayer I'm going to touch on real quickly. And one of them is every family in heaven and on earth. Our families are very important to us. We have built for a future generation. There's nothing more that I desire myself than that my children, my grandchildren, my great-grandchildren, and for generations to come would have an opportunity to know the Lord. And we've built on that fact. The Spirit in our inner being is what says, Jesus Christ living in us gives us our strength. Men and women have been obedient to the Word of God. We're still obedient to the Word of God, doing what He has called us to do to reach out and minister to other people. It says, being rooted and grounded in love, our love drives us. There is a lost and hurting world out there, and it's our job to reach them, and we're going to reach them. We're reaching out to them, and the work is set before us. The good news is we have help, and we have good help. We have a God that is completely able. Do you like those verses? To Him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think. Our God is able. Let the Lord lead us to this new generation. Let everything that we do bring honor and glory unto our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But remember those that have laid the foundation that we're building on today as we go forward in Christ. I'm going to close with a prayer from 1 Thessalonians 1, verses 2 and 3. We give thanks to God always for all of you, constantly mention you in our prayers, remembering before our God and Father your work of faith, your labor of love, and steadfastness and hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. That's a great prayer, isn't it? Now let me introduce you to Jay Hamm. He's our pastor of missions, outreach, and assimilation.
Woo! Look at all them pretty people on that picture. Leave it up there. That's what I'm talking about. Some of y'all remember when I brought Eeny, Meeny, Miney, and Ain't No Mo' up onto that stage over there across the street, and they were all about this. Well, they done grown up now, and they're all in braces and costing me money. I'm blaming it on all of y'all. I'm so glad to see some of y'all here for the first time this morning. It's not that this your first time. It's the first time y'all come out from under that balcony, and I can see y'all today. So I'm glad to see some of y'all this morning. It's my privilege to get to read to you a passage of Scripture from Philippians chapter 1. It says this in Philippians 1, 2 through 6, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God in all remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for all of you, making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I am very sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion in the day of Christ Jesus. It's my privilege to talk to you for a few minutes about evangelism. And by this time, you have figured out you ain't gonna beat the Methodist to the eat today. At this point, we'd be glad if we beat the Methodist to supper. Can I get an amen? We all may be here a while, so just get ready. Get settled down in that chair that you're ready for. I'm going to need 6 volunteers. Will, can you find these 6 volunteers and bring them right up here on this stage? Because I'm gonna need some participation, some audience participation, if you will, here in just a few minutes. Today is not just an opportunity for us to talk about sharing the gospel. Today is an opportunity for us to talk about the gospel. And here's what I want to say. You see, in all of us, there's something in our hearts where we're all unbelievers. Now, maybe just a moment of chill ran over you right there.
because you think with me, in our hearts and in our minds, there are still places where we don't believe in God. So this morning I want to share with you from the truth of God's word what exactly what God has done for us. The truth that the gospel is good news. Do you understand that? The passage says that in your participation in the gospel, that it's good news. You see, I've been walking down the street before in Vietnam, and a guy's run up to me before, and he says, "Hey, can I practice saying English with you?" And I've helped him to see that it's great to learn English, but Jesus is good news. And I've stood on a mountaintop in Africa before, and people have come to me, and they said, "Oh, if you could only take me to America with you, everything would be great." And I could say, "I could take you to America, but Jesus is the good news. He's the real difference." This morning, I got a message just before I walked onto the stage about a young man who's been coming to our events in Atkins at the Cowboy Church that we're planning there. And basically, I got the message that he had hit rock bottom. And so I began to text three of my friends sitting right there on the stage. I know people were probably judging me in that first church service. Now, by the way, y'all may not have built a big enough church because there wasn't room to cuss a cat in here in that first service. I don't know. Y'all may have need to put a few more seats in. I just think it's going to get bigger. But I began to text to my friends, and I said, "Please go to him right now. Whatever you're doing, please drop what you're doing and go talk to him about Jesus. Don't talk to him about how you can fix your relationships. Don't talk to him about how you can get your job back. Don't talk to him about your truck. Talk to him about Jesus, because Jesus is good news." But there's a part of us that sometimes we forget that. In our hearts, there are still places where we don't really believe that Jesus is the answer, that he is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no man is going to come to the Father except through him. We still have this problem where we don't cast all of our cares and our anxieties on him. We still believe that we have the way of making it on our own. You see, the Bible says that God had a perfect plan for every single one of us. He had a perfect plan for Adam and a perfect plan for Eve, and he has a perfect plan for you. The Bible says that God created Adam and Eve, and he put them in a perfect place. He had a perfect relationship with them, and every single day he walked with them and he talked with them. And if God loved Adam and Eve that much, he loves you that much. And he created you to have a perfect relationship with him, where you could walk with him and you could talk with him. Listen, let me tell you this. There was a line in that song. I wish I could get Anna back up here to sing that and the choir to sing along. There was this line that says something about that if our worries and our anxieties, they melt into praise. If you're here this morning and your anxieties didn't melt into praise, you might want to check your heart just for a second, because it's very possible that you are trusting in things other than the good news of the gospel. And see, that's exactly what Adam and Eve did. So before you throw Adam and Eve under the bus for eating that apple, you better take a minute and look inside your own heart. Here's what I mean. One sin. God had a perfect place for them, a perfect relationship with them, and he said, "There's one thing you can't do." And what did they do? The very one thing that God told them not to do. You see, when we have a perfect relationship with God and a perfect place that he's created for us, that we would think, man, that's great. That should be perfect. That should be enough. But it's not. And what happened was Adam and Eve chose to do things their own way. They chose sin. Sorry, buddy, you got to carry the sin today. Nothing personal. We can still be friends. But when we choose to do things our own way, that's sin. And that's exactly what Adam and Eve did. They said, "I got a better plan than God." They listened to the world speaking to them, and they said, "Oh, I got a better plan. I can figure this out better. Oh, I know more than God." Did God really say, have you been there before? Have you been in that spot before where you found yourself going down the road of your choosing, going down the road where you want to go, going down the path that you have chosen for yourself? Well, when that happens, most of us know this very well, that it leads us to a place where we are broken. We're broken. This morning, maybe you're here and life is just not working for you. My friend in Atkins, life is not working for him. He's not in a great place this morning. And I would imagine that there's a few of you this morning, you came here. Maybe you fought all the way here. Maybe you laid awake last night and you tossed and you turned and you worried. And you wondered, how are we going to fix this? It might be relationships, or it might be your job. It might be your children. It might be finances. It might be anything on this earth. But you've found yourself in a spot where life is broken. And see, the problem with brokenness is that we think we can figure our way out of it. God allows us to get to broken spots so that we have to look up. So that we have to recognize there is no way out of this brokenness. And yet we try to make it our own way and fix things our own way. I've tried it and so have you. We've all tried to do those things. We've all tried to make it our own way and come up with our own answers and fix problems our own way. And that's exactly what Adam and Eve did. The Bible says that after they sinned, they found themselves in a broken spot and they ran and they hid. This morning, are you hiding from God? Are you? Are you hiding from the God who made you because of disappointment or sin or whatever's going on in your life? Adam and Eve, they went and they hid, and then they covered themselves up with fig leaves. This futile attempt to deal with their own sin. See, that's just man. That's what we do. We try to fix our own problem. And Adam and Eve did that. But the good news of the gospel, the reason that we need to preach the gospel to ourselves every single day, is that God pursued them. That God went to them in the garden. He chased after them. And this morning, you know what? The good news for you is that God is chasing after you. Don't kid yourself and say, I came to see rocks and lights. Y'all could have slept late and went somewhere else to see that. Do not kid yourself that you're here just, oh, I just want to go see. God is pursuing you. He desires a relationship with you. You know how I know that? That picture of my kids. Every single time my children have come to me and said, Daddy, I messed up. Would you hold me? Every single time. I've said, no, you think about that stain you put on our carpet. Or you think about that gate you left open. Or you think about the money you cost me. Or you think, no, every single time I've held them. Every single time. And that's what God does for you. When you find yourself in a spot that is broken, the Bible says that if we will repent and we will believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you will confess your sins and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it's with the heart man believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth man confesses, resulting in salvation. The only way we can ever find ourselves out of our broken spot is that we can repent and we believe. And we repent in what? And believe in what? The good news of the gospel. That he is the only way. That he is our only chance. That he is our only hope. My vain attempts to cover my sin are just like Adam and Eve. And maybe this morning you're thinking, well, I'm a pretty good person. I can take care of myself. I guarantee you Adam and Eve were better people than you. Amen? I know they were better people than me. One sin, dude, I carried that this morning, right? I got done with that 5 minutes ago. I've probably already gone over my 10 minutes. That's a sin right there, I reckon. Right? We think we can cover it up. We think we can take care of it. But the good news of the gospel is that he did it. He took care of it for us. And the Bible says that he killed an animal right there. God killed an animal in the Garden of Eden, and that he covered the sin of Adam and Eve. The Bible says that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. And the good news of the gospel is that God demonstrated his own love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He died for us while we were. He's not waiting for you to clean it up. He's not waiting for you to straighten it out. He's not waiting for you to get all the answers. He is the answer. And this morning, maybe you needed to hear that, because that's the only way that you're ever going to rediscover and reconnect what God's perfect plan is for you and for your life. And so this morning, we're going to have a little invitation right now in the middle of this service. And I'm going to ask you, if you've found yourself in a spot where you're broken, will you run down this aisle? Will you run here? Maybe you've been a Christian for a long time, but you realize my life is broken. This altar is beautiful. Why waste it? Why not come this morning and pray and ask the Lord to forgive you, to confess your sins? If you need someone to pray with, we can find someone. But this morning, wouldn't it be a great opportunity for all of us as an act of worship to cover this altar and to pray. I've challenged my friends who go to Celebrate Recovery with me that from now on, when the invitation begins at First Baptist Church, you get up and you run down the altar to the altar. And you ask God to forgive you of the sin in your life. And you confess that sin there before God. Because that's what the Bible says we're supposed to do. This morning, maybe you found yourself in a spot where you're broken and you've never fully trusted in Jesus. There's always been a plan B. There's always been a way out. And this morning, if your worries and your cares couldn't melt into praise, maybe you realize plan B ain't getting it done anymore. And this morning, I want to trust in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Maybe this morning, like you in the first service, there were a couple people who just wanted to come and join the church. And they came forward and did that. So I'm going to challenge you this morning. Don't waste this opportunity. Our pastors are here. They'd love to pray with you. They'd love to encourage you. If you just want to come with your family and pray right here on this altar, the time is now. Would you stand with me and let's pray together. And then you come. Our Father God, we love you. We thank you for the good news of the gospel. I thank you for the participation that this church has had for so many years in the sharing the good news of the gospel. And so, Father, this morning I pray for those who are within the sound of my voice that if there's someone here that their life is broken and they need a way out, that you will provide that way out for them. That they will acknowledge you and acknowledge your lordship over their life. That they would trust in you and you alone for salvation, for help in their time of need. God, I love you. I thank you for this church. I thank you for the great years that we've had here, for the things that my children have learned and the places that we've been, the things that we have done. And so, God, we want to bring you honor and glory today. And we ask these things in Christ.
God is good, isn't he? I think I lost my place. All right. We're going to start by reading out of 1 Thessalonians 3, starting in verse number 9. For what thanksgiving can we return to God for you for all the joy that we feel for your sake before our God, as we pray most earnestly night and day that we may see you face to face and supply what is lacking in your faith. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus direct our way to you, and may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all as we do for you, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints. This passage is about the Christian walk, love, holiness, and faith. I realized in the last service I was supposed to let you know those for blanks that are in your bulletin. So love, holiness, and faith, you can put those in there. I forgot. Then I had somebody ask me afterwards, and I was like, I didn't know I had blanks. So there you go. Love, holiness, and faith. And he said, well, you hit those anyway. So I was like, oh, that's good. That's good. Love, holiness, and faith. Paul is talking to the church at Thessalonica, a church that he had started, and he comes back, and he's writing them this letter, and he said, you know, all that stuff that I had preached to you, Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming, and that message has not changed today. Jesus is coming. Thank you, Jay. Jesus is coming. Anybody else get excited about that? Jesus is coming. And what his message to them was, guys, I told you this gospel, I led you in this gospel, and Jesus is coming, so when he comes, be ready for him to come. Be what you want him to see when he comes. What does that look like? And so Jay's a great example, Jay. I mean, prime opportunity here. Jay Ham, he can't do this anymore, but he used to like chocolate cake, you know, chocolate pie. Kristen Ham, did he like to eat his dessert before the main course? All the time. I mean, we'd go to places, and he's like, where's the dessert menu? Bring it over here. And I go, Jay, what are you doing, man? We hadn't even had the main course. And he said, man, if Jesus comes before this meal is over, I want to go with chocolate pie in my belly, not some chicken. I mean, right? How do you want to be when Jesus meets you? What do you want to look like when Jesus comes to get his children? What do you want to have in you to show to Jesus? Is it, like Jay said, all the sin and all the junk in your life and the sin that you've had in the last 5 minutes, is that what you want to show to Jesus when he comes? Or do you want to show this love, this holiness and faith that you've been living out day after day after day? And church, our church has been built on that for over 140 years, as somebody said already today. Who was here 52 years ago when the other church building was built? 52 years ago. We had quite a few in the other church. Got one right here. Anybody else? right over here. And Robert, I found out Aunt Sydna was here when the church was. She raised her hand. So I guess that means my mama was here too. So, man, we must be getting old. I won't say that about them. I'd get in trouble. But 52 years ago, if you were here, did you ever think that 52 years later we're going to build a new church that's over three times as big as it is today because we are reaching the River Valley, that we're reaching the city of Russellville, we are reaching the state of Arkansas? And then to go on beyond that, we're reaching the world. Church, this year the IMB released a report that showed the global evangelism map. And it showed, if we went back a few years, we see in Kenya where it was an unreached people group. And over 20 years ago, Danny Lyons had been contacted about going and taking the gospel to Kenya. And now that place that was red over 20 years ago is now green on their maps because it is now a reached people group. They know Jesus. They're sharing the gospel. They're starting churches over there because of the work that this church did. Little old bitty Russellville, Arkansas, First Baptist Church is going all the way to Kenya and telling people about the word, the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are walking the Christian walk. And with this church building, I hope that 52 years later from now, that our kids and grandkids are able to look back on us and say that our parents, our grandparents, walked the walk. They loved. They walked in holiness. They walked out the faith of Jesus Christ in this world. And we're here today, and we aren't 2,000, we're 6,000. We're three times larger now than we were then because y'all are living out the word of Jesus Christ, and more people are coming to know him as their Lord and Savior. So are you doing that? We flip over to 2 Thessalonians, and Paul writes to that church again in 1:3. He says, "We ought always to give thanks to God for you, brothers, as is right, because your faith is growing abundantly, and the love of every one of you for one another is increasing. Therefore, we ourselves boast about you in the churches of God for your steadfastness and faith in all your persecutions and in the afflictions that you are enduring." Paul is writing this back to them because he said, "You know, I told you Jesus was coming, but somewhere in the midst of that, you thought that there might not be persecutions along the way. You thought things might not get tough, and so now you're wondering if you missed it." Well, church, Jesus never promised that we wouldn't have suffering, we wouldn't have trial, we wouldn't have persecutions. Those of you that were here 52 years ago, have there been trials and persecutions along the way in those 52 years? Have there been trials and persecutions along the way in those 52 years? Absolutely, absolutely. And what gets you through that? But Jesus Christ. Our love for him, our love for one another, our walking in holiness, and our faith in him. Have faith, endure, and work hard, Paul says. Jesus is coming, I promise you that. And along the way, walk out that Christian life. All right, Brandon Missler is going to come and talk to you, our pastor of children, middle school students, and families.
Perfect. Well, I've been able to luck out that Jay can't eat that chocolate pie anymore, so I've taken over that role for him. It's working out well for me, as you can see. I get a chance today to talk to you about good works. If you would, turn your Bible, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 11 and 12. I'll open there. "To this end, we always pray for you that our God may make you worthy of his calling and may fulfill every resolve for good and every work by his faith and power, so that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you, and you in him, according to the grace of our God, the Lord Jesus Christ." This church has established a tradition of good works. This church has been amazing. For me, I came here in 2002, and the first time I ever got to share the gospel, I was on a mission trip with Jay Hamm in Mark Tree, Arkansas. And now, I get a chance to turn around and I get to help train up your kids in learning the ways of doing good things, getting outside of yourself and doing good deeds. Every week we have, there's no telling how many needs that come through this church that our Pastor Keith Shipley gets to work with through our benevolence ministry. I was sitting up there trying to think, I personally, there may have been a few, but I personally can never think of a legitimate need that needed to be filled, either for one of our congregation or for somebody that we have not filled. This church, yesterday, I got to go and I got to help set up for a block party down in Dardanelle. There was a mom there with her two junior high boys from here that were down there serving on a Saturday afternoon. Can you think of anything else that a couple of junior high boys might have rather been doing than been serving at a block party on a Saturday afternoon? But I believe that mother understands that if you train up the children and you teach them to give outside themselves and you teach them to continue to do good works, that it opens doors. I can't tell you how many times that by helping someone, it's opened a door into that life and opened a door in a way that you can talk to them. We have multiple ways to serve. One other thing I can think of is every year during our vacation Bible school, I run VBX, and we go and we serve, and we may come to, we've been in several, maybe several of you here, we've worked in your yard, we've done work in the Main Street Mission at the Salvation Army, we've been multiple places, and they're always amazed when I call them. I say, hey, I've got some kids that would love to come and serve. So they think, oh, this is going to be perfect, you know, I've got, you know, five or six high school kids, and then they're like, well, what are the ages? And I'm like, like 10 through 12, maybe 13. They're like, well, how many? I'm like, oh, you know, 60 or 70. And they're like, what? And they're like, maybe, you know, some folks have just said, yeah, that's not going to work for us. But every time, without exception, whenever we leave, because of what you're instilling in your kids and what we have done as a church, they say, I can't believe how much you guys have gotten done. I can't believe that these kids that most of the world sees as a pain in the neck, crazy chaos, they're like, man, this would have taken us weeks, months to finish, and you guys knocked it out in an hour, which is good, because much past an hour, we lose their attention span. But we do. We go in, and we work so hard, and they do, and these kids, they're understanding. And as you guys have gotten older, a lot of you, you can look back on in your life, and you can say, you know what? We continue to do what we do because of the foundations that were laid. And I ask you, just like I talked about that mother yesterday, and about with her children, working at a block party, when it's said and done, will the things that you've taught your children, will they be considered wood and stubble and be gone away, or will they be considered rock and brick? We want to help you to give your children a foundation of rock and brick. I want to help you to encourage you to continue to give your children and even ourselves, to give outside of ourselves. None of these things were possible, all right? I honestly had gotten to the point with our church, I could not wait for this Sunday to go because I was sick and tired of everybody holding this Sunday, the special, oh, I can't wait to get in there and see it. I'm like, listen, we're still the same people that we've always been. We're still going to go. I can't wait to get out there and get dirty and work and continue to go. And now all we have is we have more space for more people to come and join us because it's contagious. Okay, people love seeing other people serve. And so 2 Thessalonians 2:13 through 17 will be where I close. But we are always to give thanks to God for you, brothers, beloved by the Lord, because God chose you as the first fruits to be saved through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth. To this he called you through our gospel, so that you may attain the glory of our God Jesus Christ. So then, brothers, stand firm and hold to the traditions that you were taught by us, either by our spoken word or by our letter. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and gave us eternal comfort and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish them in every good work and word. I just want to thank you guys for the foundation that you're laying. And then now, if you will, welcome me to the stage, Mr. Dusty Lindsay, our youth pastor and pastor of families and youth.
Thank you, Brandon. What happened at the altar just a few minutes ago, or maybe it happened in your seat, I believe that God is pleased. You may not completely understand what's taking place because you just don't have answers. But if you obey and continue with a heart of obedience, I believe God is pleased. Hebrews 13, verse 20 through 21, the writer of Hebrews says this: Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of his eternal covenant, may he equip you with everything good that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. This is the very God who not only makes an eternal promise to us, but he fulfilled it by sending Jesus himself in the person of Jesus. And by raising Jesus from the dead, he made peace possible. This God also equips us to do his will. He equips us to do His will, which we cannot possibly do ourselves. We cannot do it on our own. We simply are unable to achieve righteousness with a holy God. Yet we know that He calls us to be holy as He is holy. You see, God has a way of working this out in His people, right? He has a way of working it out, and He does it to bring Himself pleasure. In Leviticus chapter 20, we understand what He wants from us. It reads this. It says, You are to be holy to Me, because I, the Lord, am holy, and I have set you apart from the nations to be My own. So be holy as I am holy. Yet we learn this about ourselves when we read a passage in Isaiah 64, which I believe is also about us today. All of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous acts are like filthy rags. We all shrivel up like a leaf, and like the wind, our sins sweep us away. No one is righteous, no, not one. And even we flip to the New Testament, Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So there's this tension. We are to be holy and set apart as God is, yet in our best day, we are sinners, unclean. But God says this in the passage in Ezekiel, when He speaks to the prophet, through the prophet, about the people of Israel who just profaned His name and ruined their inheritance. And I believe it also speaks for us today. God makes this promise, and He says this, I will give you a new heart, and I will put in you a new spirit. I will remove from you a heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put My Spirit within you and move you to follow My decrees. Folks, it is impossible on our own merit and our own effort to rise to that level of holiness that He requires of us. However, on our behalf and for us, He paid the price that sin's influence required. And He gives us a new heart of flesh to replace a heart of stone so that we are able simply to be pleasing in His sight. And in doing that in us, He makes much of His holy name through us. And He gives us the ability to do exactly what He wants us to do. Obey. Obey. The heart of stone screams no to the things of God. However, we who are convinced of the gospel, the good news of Jesus, the heart of flesh that He has given us hungers to please Him. It thirsts to obey Him because His name is perfect and His way is peace. You see, God makes all things possible. And the writer of Hebrews prays this because he understands that we do not obey God because we have to. But because of His work in us and through us, we obey the will of God just simply because we can. He has made it possible for us to obey Him. He has given us the ability to obey Him. And with that, God receives pleasure and praise from your life and from mine. I'd like to finish this morning by reading a passage in Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 through 13. Listen as it says, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure. I'd like now to hand this back over to Pastor Greg, if he would come. Thank you, Pastor.
Well, I hope God's Word has encouraged you this morning, and it's been good to be here. Before we wrap up, and we're going to let God's Word have the last word again, we have some special news we want to share with you. And Tom, I think you had something you were filling out. Do you have something for me? Go ahead and hand that to me if you would, Tom. All right, now I think we got everybody. We had several folks join in the first service that we want to share with you this morning to make sure we're all caught up. Eric and Holly Edens joined us as well as their daughter Kayla, and then Jacob Belt. Many of you know Jacob. He was singing right here behind me here a little while ago. So the Edens and the Belt, Jacob Belt joined this morning. And then in this service that we have not presented to you, and what we're going to do, now that we're in this new building, we have a lot more room down front here. I'm going to introduce them here to you, and then after I finish the service, which is, trust me, very, very quickly, okay? So don't run on out. But after I dismiss the service, they can kind of come up front here, and y'all can come down and greet them if you're of a mind to do that. But let me introduce the folks who wanted to share with you this morning. Eli Daniel came to know Jesus as his Lord and Savior, and his mom Melissa and dad Tom wanted to make sure we present him to you. So Eli will be down here. And then Miss Alyssa Nixon also accepted Christ as her Lord and Savior. Her dad is Don, her mom Desiree, and her little sister Abby. Hunter McCam, oddly enough, seems to be attached to hanging around the Ham family. He is coming to join us from a like-minded church in his hometown at Clinton. And then also, little Mr. Jacob Work is joining us this morning. He's the son of Michael and Bridget Work. And so he is coming to let you know that he knows Jesus as his Lord and Savior. We're going to have some baptisms to set up. We'll figure out how to fill that thing and how to use it here very shortly. So we're grateful. God has been very, very good to us. And today we have talked a lot about the early church and prayers for the church and letters inspired by God and penned by the apostles, what the bride of Christ is supposed to look like, I guess. I don't believe we've speculated too much because we've read directly from the Word of God. But it just seems fitting this morning to let Jesus have the final word. And so I want to read to you from the Upper Room Discourses, which they're often referred to, which was Christ's final teaching time with his disciples before his resurrection, before his crucifixion and then his subsequent resurrection. In this prayer, which is often labeled the high priestly prayer, as you see on your screen there, Jesus, I believe, was envisioning the church. He was looking toward not just the early church and the foundations of the church, but he was looking toward you and me and the generations to come, and he was praying for us. And so I believe these words still resonate today, and there's tremendous power in this prayer in the Word of God. And by way of finishing this morning, I would ask you to stand as we read John 17. And when I finish reading this passage, you are dismissed, and feel free to come visit with our folks who made decisions this morning. John 17, verse 1. When Jesus had spoken these words, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you. Since you've given him authority over all flesh to give eternal life to all whom you've given him. And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory that I had with you before the world existed. I have manifested your name to the people whom you gave me out of the world. Yours they were, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything that you've given me is from you. For I've given them the words that you gave me, and they have received them and have come to know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I am praying for them. I'm not praying for the world, but for those whom you've given me, for they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. And I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, keep them in your name, which you've given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. While I was with them, I kept them in your name, which you've given me. I've guarded them, and not one of them has been lost except the son of destruction, that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I am coming to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word. And the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world, and for their sake I consecrate myself, that they also may be sanctified in truth. I do not ask for these only, but also for those who believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, and that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you've sent me. The glory that you've given me, I have given to them, that they may be one even as we are one, I and them and you and me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and love them even as you loved me. Father, I desire that they also, whom you've given me, may be with me where I am, to see my glory that you've given me, because you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, even though the world does not know you, I know you, and these know that you've sent me. I made known to them your name, and I will continue to make it known, that the love with which you've loved me may be in them, and I in them. Praise the Lord. You are dismissed.